The following financial professionals have asked the question that I will now put to the senior managers present at this event. First is Manuel Palomo, Exane BNP, José Ruiz, Barclays, Fernando García, Royal Bank of Canada, Alberto Gandolfi, Goldman Sachs, Rob Pulleyn, Morgan Stanley, Javier Garrido, JP Morgan, Peter Bisztyga, Bank of America, James Brand, Deutsche Bank, Meike Becker, Bernstein, Jorge Guimarães, JB Capital Markets, Fernando Lafuente, Alantra, Daniel Rodríguez, Bestinver, Mark Freshney, Credit Suisse, Javier Suárez, Mediobanca, Ahmed Farman, Jefferies, and finally, Markip Tatquin from Berenberg. First question is related to the guidance 2023. Can you help us understand the drivers of the guidance upgrade? How much is this sustainable, and what do you mean by additional upside in the second part of the year? This is a sentence included in slide 34.
I think I just mentioned, I think the new investment are increasing our asset base. We are reaching more than 40 billion euros in regulated. New rate cases in Brazil, in United States, in Maine, and from July 1st, and New York retroactivity from May 1st. As well with a higher capacity recovery in collectibles. I think there's an amount of money will be included on that one for collecting that one. We expect, I think, as I mentioned, increase in EBITDA in New York and Maine of 15%-16% in the second half. As well, additional revenues for higher investment in the U.K. under RIIO-T2 and RIIO-ED2 frameworks. In energy production and customer, I think is higher renewable output due to hydro reserves in line to historical average levels. Once and as well, we expect the normalization of the wind factor under very low resource during the first half. We have another extra capacity already in operation in the last 12 months, and we are going to put some more in service. We will continue recovering the previous year deficit accumulated in the U.K. Then we got some net in the first half, and we continue some more in the second. And as I mentioned, further optimization of financial profile of diversified. Once we will collect the asset rotation that we've been already making during these months. So that's why I think we make already our growth to high single digit for the second part of the year.
Second question is related again about the guidance. Can you please clarify one thing on updated guidance? I'm assuming it does not consider the capital gains from Mexico sale. But do you also eliminate the 140 negative impact in taxes booked in the first half of the year?
So certain is not including Mexico. I think you can already complete that one, Pepe.
Basically, what we are saying here is we are going to have a strong net capital gain. So this obviously excludes all the Mexican impact. The only thing is that we have to book this difference between tax and accounting due to the accounting rules now, and when we book the capital gain at the end of the year, obviously this is part of the total net capital gain. So we are excluding the net capital gain, which excludes this 140 million and excludes the capital gain that we will book at the end of the year.
In other words, we are already putting the negative part of the deal and not the positive part of the deal. All the positive part of the deal will be the second half, and part of the negative part of the deal is booked in the first half of the year.
The only negative part.
The only one, yeah.
Next, pumping hydro assets seems to be doing very well. Could you compare the volumes and spread compared to historical records about pumping?
Well, I think we've been for many years, I think you will reply that one, Armando, but I think for many years we were commenting about the storage. I think we've been, first we talk about, when nobody talk about renewable, we talk about renewable. When nobody talk about grid networks, we talk about networks. We've been already for months talking about, or for years talking about the storage, and now people are discovering the storage. I think, but we have already 4,000 megawatt of storage. We have already 100 million of megawatt of kilowatt hours already. We have capacity enough for providing electricity during 20, 30 hours for dozens of millions of people. I think we just completed Portugal last year, and we have several of those in Spain because we are already making reversal of that one. And we are benefiting of this one in this moment. We are using our premises of pumping for already making that one. But I think in terms of number, Armando, you mentioned the numbers, how much representing total in percentage of our production in the first half.
Good morning to everybody. Okay, as the chairman is saying, we are seeing now, and you can see in the annex of the presentation that our reservoirs levels is 33%. It's much in line with the average of the 5 years. So we are expecting a normalized year in the terms of the hydro. As the chairman is saying, pipe pumping storage is very important for us. And for this year, the 6 months, we have produced 8 terawatt hours of hydro. Most of them, three terawatts is pumping hydro, so it's working very well and is allowing us maintaining the reservoirs for the second quarter.
Next, what is your CapEx expectation for the year as a whole, 2023, and how should we think about CapEx for the next year, 2024? Could you consider delaying some of the investment included in your strategic plan, considering the cost inflation suffered up to now?
Well, I think, as I mentioned, we are expecting between 11 and 12 billion by the year end, which I think is, yes, I already mentioned that we are completing, we have 7,000 megawatts under construction in this moment, so not then it's going to be almost completed during the second part of the year, like Saint-Brieuc in France or another ones. In networks, we continue increasing our investment. I think I mentioned the right cases of New York and Brazil. In the case of New York, it's increased in Maine as well, an important increase of CapEx. So I think that is what is going to drive that one. And I think relating to next year, I think that there's still the numbers of the budget is not. But I think it's, yeah, Pepe, if I don't remember about the numbers we gave, that the plan of organic investment is on the same level, 10, 12 billion per annum. So I think it's going to be very different next year than we are expecting for this year, for next. But still, we have not the detailed numbers of the budget, but I think it's going to be very different, the organic one, as we have already, we are going to have during this year.
Next, about the debt at the end of the year. The net debt guidance for 2023 in the Q1 results presentation was below 50 billion, included PNM. Does the new target of euro 42 billion imply an increase due to the higher capex, or does it mean expectations have not changed?
No, I think the expectation has significantly improved. Let me explain. We were expecting with the PNM deal to have a debt of around, at the end of the year, of around 55, 56 billion. If you took away the impact of PNM, our debt, as we were saying, was around 49 billion. So when we were saying below 50 billion, we're talking about in the high 40s. And now we are talking about 42 billion. So this has significantly improved the debt outlook for the end of the year. So from around 48, 49 billion, excluding PNM, to around 42 billion by the end of the year.
Next, please, can you comment on the political situation in Spain and how it may impact Iberdrola?
So, as you know, we have already had elections. So I think after this election, I think we have a process we have to be making in the next few months. This process starts for the constitution of the chambers and afterward elections of the what is going to be the new government, the prime minister, new government. That is going to take still a few months, so I think that is not immediate. Now, once that will be already made, to constitute this new bill or form this new government, I think we will know what is the policies they are going to apply. But I think in things which is affecting to ourselves, the most important thing is all the things related with the European rules of that one. And I think we are already a member of the European Union, and I think the rules which is going to be applying in Spain are those rules which are already just defined in Europe. By the way, which I think Spain has already made proposal on that one, And I think the as I mentioned, not only European Commission has already defined their framework, but as well the European Parliament as well has already defined. And by the way, that one we was already hearing that one. The chair of this committee is already in Spanish, belonging to the Socialist Party, which I think is means that the Spanish proposal in certain case has been already just approved as well. We will expect that one, and I think we are not expecting things which will be outside of those one will be the common European rules.
Next, could you please share your views on the recent PNIEC draft sent by the government to the European Union? Do you see it as feasible? Would you rethink upwards or downwards your investment in Spain as a consequence of such an aggressive draft?
Well, I think it's, we've been already pioneers in investing in renewables. We've been pioneers in decarbonizing. We've been pioneers in talking about the needs of investment in networks, to talk about investment in storage. And I think this plan is very ambitious, very ambitious. I think it's, that means the record of construction renewables per annum in Spain has been on the range of 5,000 megawatts in a year. Now this one represents more than 10,000 megawatts in a year. So I think it's very ambitious to be achieved. But for me, it is not the point of what is the ambition in terms of decarbonizing the economy. It's what is going to be the demand generation of that one. So what is going to be the stimulus for already decarbonizing a lot of segments, a lot of sectors, for already providing and supplying this electricity generated on that one. Being difficult to build all those ones, but the most difficult or the thing which is going to need already to analyze in more detail is how is going to grow the demand, what measure is going to be taken for the decarbonizing sector and segment with makers already that to fit the offer with the demand and to make already attractive to make all this renewable, because if there are no demand, the renewable is going not to be built. So I think for me is that the point. The second point, which I think is not, which is already on the documents of the European Commission related to the market and reform, so is the need of grid more grid for connecting more renewables and for providing the service, electricity service for those areas which they will like to be decarbonized, industry or in residence. So I think there he left that area which is needed already to put more emphasis in the need of no grid. And the third one is further clarity about storage. I think as a system fully depending on renewables, or most depending on renewables, require first a demand for that one, and the second one, because if there are no demand, the investment is going to be made, it's clear. And the second one is related to the grid needed for that one, and the storage. A storage for matching the needs of demand when they are not already enough renewable reserves, and storing the electricity when there are excess of production. So there is the three areas what we need. I'm sure that during the dialogue that is going to be maintained the next few months, all these areas is going to be improved.
One of our peers commented on the negative impact of curtailments on Spanish renewables output. Has this situation impacted Iberdrola? Do you believe this could be a problem in the future?
So the first thing is, has the answer to the impact in Iberdrola is known. And why none? Because that is due technical bottlenecks in the nodes of the grid. And fortunately, our renewables are located in areas where that bottleneck doesn't exist. So we have not already had an impact on that one. By the other side, I think when they are already situation of those ones, in some cases are impacting to the market prices, and the impact to the market prices, I think, is when our storage works. That's why Armando was already mentioned that our pumping storage facilities are already producing more than another times, because we are precisely, as I mentioned as well in the previous question, we are already in the moment there excess of electricity, we are already pumping water for already using this in the moment they are already deficit of production. So the answer is no effect in our nodes and no problems of curtailment because our power plants are located in areas where they are not already bottlenecks in the nodes of the grid.
Next is some peers have been positive about faster renewables development in the European Union. Do you see the same, and how confident do you feel about your 2025 targets? Number nine. About renewables and developments in the European Union.
I mentioned, I think the IRA I think has a lot of advantage. One of the main advantage is related to the capacity of the possibility of transforming our existing fleet of renewables and wind particularly to make repower, what makes that we can already benefit of the full tax credit of the full new production, which is more production than the previous one, with the new technology, with the new with repower we make, with a capex half of the new power plant. So I think that is the big advantage. So it means being already a first mover in the United States give us an advantage, then at least in this moment, the first analysis probably is going to be more. At least half of our total fleet is able today to be repowered. So I think that is a positive thing. So the things for already accelerating to do something like in European Union, so I think that should be a good thing. I think, but nevertheless, Europe has not an IRA, but we have already Fit for 55 and the next and the funds we were allocated for the generation funds. I think next generation funds, we're allocating 40% of these generation funds were already fully dedicated for energy transition. So it means, I think if it's properly allocated, I think we have as much money as the Americans are planning for already improving already the mix of our generation in Europe. So I think I can tell you, for instance, that recently we just got 150 million subsidy for making already a green methanol project plant in Galicia and in northwestern Spain. So precisely because of these funds, which is the next generation fund. So, and I think we are expecting another similar one for green hydrogen, which been approved by the European Commission. It's a huge project in the south part of Spain for making green hydrogen and green ammonia. And we are expecting as well something like. I think the money is allocated. The point now is how to accelerate the procedures and the tramit for making that happen as soon as possible.
Next is, you highlight that no caps to inframarginal technologies are considered in the power market reform, the European Union one. Do you still expect a Spanish price cap to end at the end of this year? And how much could you benefit from this in 2024?
So I think the European Commission has clearly assessed that energy measures such as the cap on inframarginal technologies should not become part of the electricity market design. So I think that is not part of the design. If any situation, extraordinary situation, is happening again, I think it's needed, and that is already been during several months, and have to be approved by European authorities. So I think it's not just because one day the prices are moving for whatever reason. It's several months in a consistent manner. There will be a situation of pricing which allow the member state to ask the European authorities to approve at European level an extraordinary measures. But I think the existing measure is gone. That's it.
Next, are you seeing more interest from governments in promoting the development of transmission infrastructure? What is the current status of Iberdrola's big transmission project in UK, US, and Brazil?
Well, I think you don't mention one important project which is needed. It's more interconnection between Spain and France. So I think that is a crucial one. So unfortunately, that is not dependent on ourselves, but I think that is very needed. In those, then we are already is managed for ourselves. I think the case of Britain, I think, you know, we just completed, we are the owner of the grid, of the transmission grid, or part of the transmission grid in Scotland. And I think we are reinforcing that one. But as well, we just completed 2 years ago interconnection transmission line, submarine one, the first one who has been made in Europe on these conditions between Scotland and Wales. That is the what is called Western Link. Now is already another project which is already just funded by the regulator, which is the Eastern Link. We are just providing the data of amount of money required, but that is going to be made under the RIIO-T2 condition, so in the same condition, the framework of the existing transmission in UK, and that is represent roughly is a total investment over 2 billion, which I think around 1 billion is our part of it. Another part is National Grid. So as the same joint venture that we have already for the Western Link is the same joint venture for the Western Link. I think that is already ongoing. I think we are in the process of this one. I think the first order has been passed to vendors for is high voltage DC and the first order of cable, etc., has been passed. There are another projects or similar ones, which is I think NCC, the interconnection between Canada and Massachusetts. Now we have all the permits, all the approvals, and we are just proceeding and continue the construction. There are certain potential deviation in the CAPEX because of the time lost, but I think the Parliament of Massachusetts has already approved the rules already for covering the framework for giving us the comfort to recover the extra costs we can incur as consequence of the time lost. They are new as well, another transmission in New York, as I mentioned, is New York Transco, which altogether can already represent $3 billion up to 2030 for injecting electricity into New York City. And I think we are as well in this with a joint venture with another colleagues in the United States. And in the case of Brazil, as you know, we have already, we are building some transmission, 1,000 kilometers of transmission line in several substations. We were already awarded in the auction in 2018, I think, or 2019. And I think that is construction. Besides in those one, we make a deal with GIC that we are already a 50% partnership on this one for constructing that one. It was recently some auctions in Brazil. I think the prices with certain of our colleagues were offering were so low that we decided not to continue on this, not to participate in such a condition. So I think, you know, we are very, we have a huge discipline, financial discipline, and I think same thing we did already in the auction for seabeds in Germany that has been paid an important amount of money, which I'm very pleased and our colleagues of oil is already moving to this sector. But I think we saw that that is too expensive and we are not seeing that in our with our vision is more conservative than the vision they have about the future prices, which I think that is make them not. But I think the main transmission is the project in Britain, as I mentioned, project in the United States, and CC in Transco, and the existing project of transmission in Brazil. Altogether, I think it's very important amount of money what we are going to dedicate in the next few years, which is several billion euros. I think is each of those projects is 1, 2, 3 billion each, so which I think is a lot of money.
Next one is they are asking about an update on the PNM deal.
So, Gerardo, perhaps it's more, I think I can say on the side of the shareholders, on the side of the partners, I think the agreement has been extended. So I think we agreed with PNM to extend the agreement, the existing agreement, to year end, and with the possibility of extending it for a few months later on if it's needed. But I think, Gerardo, you can, the lawyer, you can already explain what is the legal framework, how it is.
Yes, we will have a hearing in September. It will take place in September 15, about before the news.
Hearing with the Supreme Court.
In the New Mexico Supreme Court about the approval of our stipulation, and we expect that the decision will be positive because we think that we have a very, very strong case. So we expect to have enough time to complete the transaction on time. And also, it's important to highlight that we have all the approvals. We have the federal approvals, Texas approvals, and 23 of the 24 parties in New Mexico support the transaction. So we have, I think, the good progress, and we'll see what happens in September.
We are optimistic that by the year end that will be completed.
Next question is related to the rate cases in the U.S. and Brazil. Can you give details on what upside you are expecting from rate cases in New York and Brazil? In New York, what have you proposed in terms of revenue growth and allowed cost of equity? When are decisions expected?
So, as I mentioned, in New York, we have already reached an agreement with the staff of the regulatory commission. We are expecting that in the next few months, I think the decision will be taken. In any case, that is retroactive. As I mentioned, is the terms are I mentioned already is return on equity over 9%, and I think if that is approved, we will increase our because of this one in our a bit down the range of 15-16%. In the case of Brazil, that is been approved. In the case of Maine, it's fully approved, so I think that is done. I think as well is return equity above 9%, and I think that is increasing our investment, I think, very much toward what it was before, and that will provide already an increase in our contribution to our EBITDA on the range of 20-30% extra per annum to what we have already in 2022. And in Brazil, it has been agreed, and for all there's one related to the Northeast. So, and I think is, and in the case of São Paulo, I think is we are expecting already that well to reach an agreement by August for a period of 2027. Another one reach up to 2028. In both cases, we are expecting increases, as I mentioned, in revenues the second half toward the previous half. In 7-8%.
Okay, we have reached 1 hour of the presentation, but due to the high number of questions we have received, I hope that you will allow me to extend the presentation 15 minutes more. Next question is related to PPAs, and is can you provide an approximate indication of where you see PPA price for offshore wind in Europe currently? Also, can you elaborate on PPA price trends on onshore solar in Europe and US during Q2?
So you will give the numbers, Armando, but I think something which is important, when we start talking about the importance of PPAs and the visibility for industries and visibility for consumers, long-term visibility, I think it was something in many cases in Europe that was very normal in the state. In Europe was not so common. So you remember last year when we were talking about the situation of prices, etc., we said, well, we have already fixed prices. It's already sold. And that is what we already just telling you. We have 135 terawatt hours per annum already for the next few years already sold in advance. And that is very good. And what we are observing in Europe, and that is what I make already in my presentation, is increase in demand for largest consumers of signing agreements, long-term agreement, we provide them stability and visibility. And that is good for them, it's good for us, because that gave us, well, this predictability for making already our investment in terms without avoiding risks or future risks. And I think the risk will be already to make the things in to make the construction and the delivery and the operation in a good manner. So I think that is what we are serving. That's why we are already signing with a large corporation, a multinational corporation, which are already same ones in the United States and in Europe, and in Europe across the different countries. And I think that is what we are seeing. So, and that is the rules, the precisely European Commission in the new, in the terms of the market reform then being approved by the Committee of the Parliament and the European Commission is trying to promote more PPAs to provide stability for the consumers and predictability for investors. So which of the prices what you are signing now, Armando?
We are seeing prices. We are very active in PPAs in Europe with multinational companies, and we are seeing prices around 70-80 euros per megawatt hour.
Next is a very short question. Are you comfortable in UK supply now?
Sorry?
Are you comfortable in UK supply now?
Well, I think it's look, and we are this year, I think we've been suffering during last year a situation very particular in retail. It's not normal in a country that because of the regulatory framework, 30 retailers has already failed. So I think now the situation is more stable, more predictable. We are recovering the deficit generated in the past, and the market in this moment is more stable. So I think, seeing the demand in this moment, I think, you know, we are short in energy, so which I think that is important to know. That's why we are already investing more and to make more renewables in the country. But I think we are not expect any problem in our projection on that one. I think our projection is already conservative in this end. Nevertheless, you have to know that in Britain, our business is networks. So I think 80% of our businesses networks is where we have already more interest and more this one in retail, and of this part is a very small part of our total thing. And in the case of production, most of our production is covered on the regulated CFD tariff, so which I think as well is not being affected for whatever thing related to demand on that one.
Next is regarding to the German offshore auction. Could you comment on your bid in the German offshore wind auction and your view on a long-term power prices for 2030 and beyond?
So first I said welcome to our colleagues of oil companies to be already in the sector. So I think it's, they are our partners in certain of them. You know, we are partners with BP in for electric charges for electric vehicles. We are partners of Shell for offshore in Britain. And I think I'm delighted that they are already being seen more optimistic prices that we are seeing. And that's why I think that allowed themselves to already offer higher condition for the seabed than we've been ready to offer for that one. So nevertheless, I think we have already plenty of seabed available in different countries, and so that's why we don't need to make already just this auto move. So I think it's sure that the prices they've been offering of that one, which are already paying 30 or 40% of the capex already in terms of for the seabed. That's, let's say, is very good news for us because means those what we have already got at almost zero, that has much more value. So I think that's positive.
Is Iberdrola seeing improvements in permitting from renewables in Spain or UK yet, as peers have highlighted?
So,
the permitting process in Spain and the UK is improving or not?
The permitting. Well, not much, I would like to say. Not much. There are certain moves in trying to define areas in which will be already not needed to pass through the slow process we are already having at present. So there are some moves at European level in the different countries to try to accelerate this process. But the reality today is still, in my opinion, is too slow.
Next is regarding offshore. There have been companies dropping projects in UK offshore for pressures on returns. Where do you see offshore IRRs currently in the UK and in the North Sea or the Baltic Sea?
Well, it's true that I think you are commenting about some companies. I imagine you are talking about Vattenfall, which was our neighbor already in East Anglia.
Right.
So I think they have already done precisely what we have already done in the United States, and there are very many others who has already followed us. I think the terms of the auctions already made a few years ago were absolutely different of the prices of today we have to pay for the equipment. The equipment is much more expensive. The inflation is affecting to the labor. The cost of the vessels, etc., has increased, and that is a reality. What happened? I think in our case in East Anglia 3, we had the fortune to fix all those terms just few days after we won already the auction. So, and that makes then ourselves, we are in a different position than others in this respect. That is not already happening in the state because there is impossible to fix the terms, because when you gain the, an auction, still you have not the project itself. And it takes 5, 6, or 7 years before you get the permits and you have the and you have all the design, the proper design of the of the of the of the wind farm. In the case of Britain, it's different. I think you, when you make the auction, you have the consent, and the consent means you have an approved project. You have already make a deep analysis of all the terms of the seabed, on the transmission, etc., etc., and you are allowed to reach agreement with vendors of equipment just prior of the offer, and fixing that one just 24 hours after you gain the auction. And that is what is happening. What are the 10? I would like to say, in our case, if we go ahead, means that it's already reasonable returns, and you know the reasonable return for us is WACC plus 100 to between 100 to 200 basic points.
The US IRA is a positive. When would you expect to have clarity, and could it cause an upswing or in investments? You are considering repowering 4.6 gigawatts on wind farms in the US. Should this decision trigger an impairment of the value of the existing assets? How much capex would you need, and how much incentives you get with the IRA?
Well, I just mentioned before, I think the importance of that one is that we can already build or repower the existing fleet a half of the cost of the half of the capex of the new one. And we will be allowed to receive the 100% tax credits and subsidies, same if we make branding new. So we make more production with a new repower, much more production, because we put already new turbines, and we will keep already quite a lot of existing equipment, so which is tower and connection and transmission and all those things, and I think we receive 100% of subsidy of that one, so that one is highly valuable. That one, I think, that is positive cash flow generated from the very beginning. And I think that gave already an extra value, very extra value, to our fleet of megawatt, existing megawatt in the United States. So I think that is a big advantage for those who have been first mover in the state toward those ones which are now landing in the country. With the new one landing in the country, they are allowed to receive these IRA subsidies, but the capex they have to make is double than the capex we have now. The second thing is that we have already the customer, so the PPA, what is already is signed, we can already extend this PPA, of course, in the renegotiated terms, but we don't need to look for the customer because the customer exists. So I think is the commercial side is done, and in economics, I just insist on that one, we can increase 20-30% the production of the existing ones with a capex, which is half of the capex of the brand new one.
One regarding U.S. offshore, the position of Iberdrola in U.S. offshore. What does Iberdrola stand on U.S. offshore wind? Number 20.
The offshore.
What is the position, or what position regarding?
Well, in the United States, I mentioned, I think Vineyard Wind, I mentioned already, the first offshore wind farm which has been built in the state, the first one which has been in operation. I think we are in this moment just fixing the foundations, and I think and that is going on. The cable is already made, and that is going on, and we expect mid on this year the first export of electricity. In another two project I mentioned already, Massachusetts, we just got the agreement of with the buyers, which are the distribution companies of Massachusetts, to cancel our existing contract, and I think that means then we can already make to the new auction if we like. We are free to make already new deals with that one. In the case of Connecticut, which is another auction, we are negotiating new terms with the regulator of Connecticut, with the government of Connecticut, for making that already viable.
Next question is, there has been talk about potential life extension for nuclear plants in Spain. Would you be open to this, and do you see the recent European Union discussion on mechanism to incentivize this ongoing in the right direction?
Well, you know, in Spain, we have already a protocol signed for closing, I think, up to 2035. So I think this protocol exists, and I think it's something that we would like to respect, that one. But if the power plant are able to be extended as in other countries, so technically it's possible, then this power plant it continues their production and their activity with certain investment, of course, then we will need to renegotiate the terms for making that already the viability of that one. So I think technically it's possible, economically it's a question of negotiating, and the system, well, will be more relaxed if they exist, if they don't exist. So I think that's clear. But I think we are not making the energy policy. Those ones which are making the energy policy have to look already with an advantage. I think technically it's possible. Economically, it's a question of negotiated. They are not the countries which are doing, and the system operator is that one we have to look if that is needed for the stability of the system or not. I think it's something which I think as engineer I can give you my opinion, but I will not give to you any opinion on that one.
Next is on asset sales. Following the very active first half of the year, are you considering selling additional assets? If so, would you prefer minority stakes of or entire assets?
I think we had completed 100% our asset rotation. So I think that's clear. We make already in our plan, we said that we are going to make 7 billion asset rotation, and that is done. So which I think the plan is the plan. So, but I think in the plan was as well another area, which was partnership. And partnership, what means is co-invest with us. Co-invest in which terms? Co-invest in some terms in minority, equal, majority. It depends case by case. But I think what we would like is to benefit or to use our capabilities, our experience, our know-how for already accelerating the growth without being forced to use already resources coming from our shareholders. And I think we would like to make these partnerships in such a way the others help to us to make our growth without being forced to us for increasing share capital, for already benefiting of the potential demand, extra demand of renewable or transmission or whatever, what we have today and probably we are going to have tomorrow. That is our plan, and we will continue with focus on partnership, but the best man is already done.
And finally, last question comes from Stein Birkeland from Norges Bank, and is related to update him on the various green hydrogen projects of Iberdrola and how they are progressing.
So, thank you. I think it's, you know, we have 60 projects in this moment of hydrogen in 8 countries. We have projects in Spain, we have projects in the US, in Brazil, in Australia, in Portugal, in many countries. So, and I think it's in the case of Spain, I think you know that we, as I mentioned, we've been awarded with 150 million euros for making a green methanol project. We had already before a small subsidy, already 5 million, 10 million, for making a test of that one. Now it's an industrial one. It's already 500 million capex of this power plant in the northwest of Spain for making that one. And we are expecting already the big investment, what we are already planning to make in the center and in the south of Spain for making a green hydrogen to make green ammonia. The project is completed. There are similar one in Portugal. In the case of Spain, has been approved the subsidies by the European Commission, and we are expecting the allocation of these subsidies by Spanish authorities. I imagine that the new government, the moment will be formed, they will accelerate all these things. But the money is being approved, the project has been approved, our project has been approved by the European Commission, and I think that is a question only to see if the amount of money has been allocated for Spain for this proposal is going to be given to us totally, partially, etc., etc. And we will expect that the new government is going to provide that one. But the project is ready for that one. And we continue with many, many another small ones that then we continue making those one in the areas of all kind of things. So, but the large project you mentioned, those ones which require hundreds of billions of euros, are are already ready, but pending of this support from the European funds, with the exception of green methanol, who has been just approved in that one in the last 2 weeks.
Okay, now please let me now give the floor to Mr. Galán to conclude the...
So thank you very much for taking part in this conference call. I wish all of you a very good summer for those that have the chance to be on holidays. And I hope that after this result, will allow us to take some time over the next week to continue already sharing whatever comments. I think even if we'll be in holidays, our investor relation will be ready, as always, to be in touch with you to reply whatever question you like. And if then any new news in the next, further better or new good news in the next few days or weeks, I think they will be ready to share with you, as always they does. Thank you very much, and have a good holidays. Thank you.